Mimi Goodman, host of Democracy Now! For more than 15 years, CJSF 90.1 FM has been bringing Democracy Now! To the greater Vancouver area every weekday at 11 a.m. From New York, this is Democracy Now!
The reality of what we are seeing and the impact on the community is that people are afraid. People are afraid to go out. They're afraid to go to school. They're afraid to go to work. They are afraid that they might be attacked because of those hate speech. So we are very concerned about that right now.
Threats of violence against Haitian immigrants are escalating as Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance double down on their racist lies, falsely claiming Haitians living in Springfield, Ohio, are eating people's pets. Hospitals have been locked down. Schools have gone online. Elementary schools let out because they don't want the students to be in danger. We'll speak with Gerline Joseph, co-founder of the Haitian Bridge Alliance. Then we look at the ongoing Gaza ceasefire negotiations as Israeli forces continue their attacks on multiple fronts. We'll speak with former Israeli peace negotiator Daniel Levy. And I'm Jad Araki, a senior editor at 972 Magazine, who says we're already in a regional war. Only a Gaza ceasefire can end it.
Ultimately, what's at the heart of these negotiations is a choice between two options. One is either the retrenchment of the Israeli occupation and the redesigning of the military occupation that's been going on for decades, or it's to put Gaza and the rest of Palestine on the path towards self-determination, liberation, and an end to military rule and towards a more just solution to this conflict.
All that and more coming up. Welcome to Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. A 58-year-old white man has been arrested in Florida as part of what the FBI believes was an attempted assassination of Donald Trump at his golf club in West Palm Beach. A Secret Service agent fired shots Sunday after seeing an armed man hiding in the bushes about 300 to 500 yards from where the former president was playing golf. The suspect, Ryan Routh, was later detained. An AK-47 was found at the spot where he'd been hiding in the bushes. Routh has been described as a former Trump voter who traveled to Ukraine last year to help recruit foreigners to fight against Russia. In 2002, he was charged with possession of a weapon of mass destruction. Sunday's incident came 2 months after a gunman shot Trump in the ear at a rally in Butler, Pennsylvania. The U.S. State Department's approved a new $165 million arms deal for Israel to help fund heavy-duty tank trailers. This comes as the official death toll from Israel's war on Gaza has topped 41,200. On Saturday, an Israeli airstrike on a house in Gaza City killed 11 Palestinians, including 4 children. Al Jazeera reports Israel also killed at least 10 Palestinians in a strike on a home in the Nusayrat refugee camp.
Our neighbors here are all under the rubble, a family under the rubble, a man, his wife, their children, and the neighbors next to them. We were able to remove around 9 martyrs, all of them children in pieces.
Israel's admitted there's a, quote, high probability that 3 Israeli hostages who died in Gaza in November were killed in an Israeli air attack. In the occupied West Bank, an Israeli sniper has fatally shot an employee of the UN refugee agency, UNRWA. Sufyan Jaber Abed Jawad is the first UNRWA staff member to be killed in the West Bank in more than a decade. Israel's vowing to retaliate after Houthi fighters from Yemen fired a missile into central Israel Sunday. No direct injuries were reported. Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu vowed to retaliate. In Turkey, hundreds of mourners gathered Saturday for the funeral of 26-year-old Ayşenur Ezgi Aygi, the Turkish-American activist who was fatally shot in the head by Israeli forces in the occupied West Bank when she was peacefully protesting. President Joe Biden has called the shooting totally unacceptable. But the news outlet Zateo reports neither Biden nor Vice President Kamala Harris have reached out yet to her family since her death over a week ago. Eichner graduated this year from the University of Washington in Seattle. She lived in Seattle since she was less than 1 year old. On the campaign trail, Donald Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance are continuing to repeat racist comments about Haitian immigrants living in Springfield, Ohio, including false claims about immigrants eating cats and dogs. During a CNN interview, Vance admitted he was willing to, quote, create stories.
The American media totally ignored this stuff until Donald Trump and I started talking about cat memes. If I have to, create stories so that the American media actually pays attention to the suffering of the American people, then that's what I'm going to do, Dana.
Meanwhile, Donald Trump has vowed to mass deport Haitians in Springfield, even though many have TPS, temporary protected status. Over the past week, bomb threats have forced the closure of several public schools and city buildings in Springfield. Colleges in the city have moved to virtual classes this week after receiving threats. In the Democratic Republic of Congo, a military court sentenced 37 people to death for trying to overthrow Congo's president. The group includes three Americans. The men are accused of attacking the presidential palace and the home of an ally of President Felix Tshisekedi in May. Eight asylum seekers died when their vessel sunk in the English Channel as they attempted to cross from France to the UK. The deceased were from Eritrea, Sudan, Syria, Egypt, Iran, and Afghanistan. A number of survivors were rushed to the hospital after a rescue operation overnight Saturday, including a 10-month-old baby with hypothermia. Earlier this month, at least 12 migrants died making the same journey. Rights groups condemned the UK and European governments for failing to provide safe asylum routes. Amnesty International calling it a, quote, yet another appalling and unavoidable tragedy. In Honduras, a prominent anti-mining activist was gunned down Saturday as he left a church in his northeastern town of Tocoa. Juan Lopez was a member of the ruling Libre Party and campaigned against open-pit iron ore mining. This is Juan Lopez speaking 3 years ago.
It is not gold or silver or any of these metals which makes a nation wealthy. But it is the agriculture. Our voices of dignity and sovereignty have not died. They keep getting stronger.
A new report by Global Witness found Honduras had the third highest number of murders of environmental defenders, tied with Mexico, with 18 recorded killings last year. The Venezuelan government's arrested six foreigners, including three Americans, for allegedly being involved in a plot to destabilize the country. Venezuela's Interior Ministry accused the six of being part of a CIA-led effort aimed at assassinating Venezuelan President Nicolas Maduro and other high-ranking officials. The U.S. State Department rejected the claim, calling it, quote, categorically false. Mexico's highly contested judicial reform went into effect Sunday. In recent weeks, judges and other court workers have launched a wave of protests against the judicial overhaul, which will allow for the election of judges by popular vote. President Manuel López Obrador celebrated the reform as he signed it into law.
Que se acabe la simulación, porque se hablaba también de que vivíamos.
Let's put an end to the simulation. Because we also talked about living in a democracy. But no, an oligarchy was in power. Those who ruled were the ones at the top. A minority with a facade of democracy. That was a simulation. Now it is different. It is the people who are in charge. And it is the people who decide how it is to put into practice what Article 39 of our Constitution says, that our people have at all times the right to change the way of their government.
President López Obrador was sitting next to his successor, President-elect Claudia Sheinbaum, who will be sworn in October 1st. In Burma, flooding and mudslides from Typhoon Yagi have killed at least 100 people. Dozens are still missing. Hundreds of thousands have been displaced. The overall death toll from Yagi, which also swept through Vietnam, Thailand, and southern China, is now at roughly 400 people. Millions more have been displaced or lost their homes or businesses. Separately, Typhoon Babinka brought Shanghai to a standstill as it made landfall earlier today. It's the strongest storm to hit the bustling Chinese city since 1949. Climate change is making extreme weather events like typhoons more frequent and deadlier. Meanwhile, catastrophic flooding has led to at least 8 deaths in Central and Eastern Europe as rivers have been bursting their banks from torrential downpours. The most affected countries are Romania, the Czech Republic, Poland, and Austria. This all comes as NASA says last month set a new temperature record for the month of August, making the summer's Earth hottest since global record-taking began in 1880. The previous hottest summer on record was last year. Here in New York, Mayor Eric Adams' counsel and chief legal advisor resigned Saturday night amidst multiple federal investigations into the Adams administration. Lisa Zornberg resigned Saturday night 2 days after New York Police Commissioner Edward Caban resigned. And in Colorado, a judge freed the white paramedic who was convicted of homicide for injecting Elijah McClain with ketamine in 2019, which led to the McClain death in the hospital soon after. Peter Sikuniak had been serving a 5-year sentence for McClain's death before a judge converted it on Friday to 4 years probation. McClain, an unarmed 23-year-old black man, had been walking home from a convenience store when he was assaulted by Aurora police, who put him in a carotid hold before paramedics administered an excessive dose of ketamine into his system. And those are some of the headlines. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org. Haiti Cherie is coming up, the music, because we'll be talking about Haitians in Springfield. Stay with us.
Li te gen chans pou le dekore ak pye koko e bonme bel fle pousse nan chak sezon ki empeshe m pati kite Haiti cheri an dan vantou m sati let ma men lout nou rim cheri pou bon jan pye mango osi or kap chante cheri la mwa pla in a kambou Longtemps, longtemps, l'aime de pitié. A tout 10 ans, m'y m'a pâti. M'a cherché chez mes la campagne. Pour m'a trouvé bon goût la vie. L'ennemi vient trouver Zanana. Bon, j'en grand créole pour nous soucer. Le coco est servine de sain. Tout bagaille, ça y'a fait me remettre. Haïti chérie. M'en pas qu'un droit troquer ou même si y'a pas un diamant. Chérie.
Haiti Cherie by Haitian Troubadours. This is Democracy Now!, democracynow.org, The War and Peace Report. I'm Amy Goodman. We begin today's show looking at the escalating threats of violence against Haitian immigrants as Republican presidential nominee Donald Trump and his running mate J.D. Vance continue to double down on their racist lies, falsely accusing Haitians living in Springfield, Ohio, of eating people's pets and other animals in the outdoors. On Saturday, two Springfield hospitals were forced to go on lockdown after receiving bomb threats. This was at least the fourth such case after a bomb threat on Thursday prompted authorities to order the evacuation of Springfield City Hall and several municipal buildings. Springfield Mayor Rob Rue said the threat came in an email from someone angry over the city's resettlement of Haitian immigrants. Two colleges in Springfield, Wittenberg University and Clark State College, also received shooting and bombing threats over the weekend, prompting officials to cancel events and move classes online. On Sunday, Vance defended the far-right racist lies during an interview with CNN's Dana Bash.
The Clark County Sheriff and the Ohio Department of Natural Resources reviewed 11 months of 911 calls. They only identified two instances of people alleging Haitians were taking geese out of parks. They found zero evidence to substantiate those claims. Also, other evidence that you have talked about, even you've retweeted alleged evidence, are unsourced social media videos from a different city, apparently no connection to Haitians. And this is from a conservative activist who offered a $5,000 reward for such things. And then going just back to the schools and the hospitals and so forth being overwhelmed, nobody is disputing that the town of Springfield, Ohio, needs help. But you're not just a bystander. You're the senator from Ohio. So instead of saying things that are wrong and actually causing the hospitals, the schools, the government buildings to be evacuated because of bomb threats, because of the cats and dogs thing, why not actually be constructive in helping to better integrate them into the community? Because there are a lot of employers there who say that the Haitian workers are helping fill jobs that they need desperately filled.
Dana, first of all, let me just respond to a couple of things that you said, but I want to start with something you said, which I think is frankly disgusting and is more appropriate for a Democratic propagandist than it is for an American journalist. There is nothing that I have said that has led to threats against these hospitals. These hospitals, the bomb threats and so forth, it's disgusting. The violence is disgusting. We condemn it. We condemn all violence.
Senator, this happened after you and
but
President
say,
Trump
no,
were
Dana,
on,
no,
the,
Dana,
on the debate
say,
stage said
Dana,
that cats
no,
and dogs
you
were
asked,
being
you
eaten.
Asked a
Meanwhile, Republican Ohio Governor Mike DeWine told ABC News Sunday Trump and Vance's remarks about Haitians were garbage and simply not true.
And here's a question I never thought I would have to ask, but do you see any evidence as governor of the state that Haitian immigrants are eating pets?
No. Absolutely not. That's what the mayor said. That's what the chief of police has said. I think it's unfortunate that this came up. Let me tell you what we do know, though. What we know is that the Haitians who are in Springfield are legal. They came to Springfield to work. Ohio is on the move, and Springfield has really made a great resurgence with a lot of companies coming in. These Haitians came in to work for these companies. What the companies tell us is that they are very good workers. They're very happy to have them there. And frankly, that's helped the economy.
So that's the Republican governor of Ohio, Mike DeWine. Meanwhile, during a campaign event in Rancho Palos Verdes, California, Trump repeated his threats of carrying out mass deportations beginning in Springfield if he's reelected in November.
And we're going to have the largest deportation in the history of our country, and we're going to start with Springfield and Aurora.
Trump was referring to Springfield, Ohio, and Aurora, Colorado. For more, we're joined here in our New York studio by Gerline Joseph, co-founder and executive director of Haitian Bridge Alliance, which is an immigrant advocacy organization that provides humanitarian assistance to Haitians and other Black immigrants from the Caribbean and Africa. Welcome back to Democracy Now! It's great to have you for the first time in our New York studio, Gerline. If you can talk, first of all, about what's going on in Springfield, Ohio. But when you receive, when the community receives threats like this in one city, from the hospital lockdown, elementary schools closed, colleges going online, threats of bombings, threats of school shootings, this affects more than the community of Springfield.
Thank you so much, Amy, for having me. And that is the reality, and that's what we continue to say. Those type of narratives, when they think they're only attacking one person, one community, it has ripple effects. The reality now in Springfield, the entire community's lives are at risk. And what we are saying is currently, this has been a tactic that's being used, fear, division, and this is a time for all people in cities like Springfield to come together and fight against those hateful speech that literally are creating those security issues in Springfield and also in other places across the United States.
Let's talk about the tens of thousands of Haitians who have come to Springfield. The Republican governor himself saying these are legal immigrants who've come to work. The corporations here love them. We're talking about a dying Rust Belt town.
Absolutely. And we have a cohort, the Haitian Witch Alliance have a cohort of people that we have been working with to really train them, to have them to fill those extremely needed positions. And what we see and what we know and understand is that as the city of Springfield was in a decline, those Haitian people came there, they revitalized the economy, they paid their taxes, and they are really supporting to create a vibrant community in Springfield. And that is the reality, and that is the story that needs to be done. Just like the elected officials in Springfield, you heard from the governor, you heard from the mayor, you heard from the sheriff office, that these people are there and they are supporting revitalizing the economy, revitalizing the culture. And we need to make sure that is the reality, because those false narratives that continues to create this atmosphere of fear, not only for the Haitian community, but for every single person living in Springfield, is dangerous and cannot continue.
The mayor of Springfield was pleading for the federal authorities. Now, let's remember, J.D. Vance is not only the vice presidential nominee, he's the Ohio senator. In fact, he represents all of Springfield. Talk about why tens of thousands of Haitians were essentially invited to Springfield.
They needed help, basically. And I remember in one of the earlier articles from the New York Times, it literally said, we prayed for a miracle and the Haitians came. That's what someone from Springfield said when they really were trying to see what are the contributions of the Haitians. We prayed for a miracle and the Haitians came. And that's the reality. And as we are looking into people who are supposed to be leading our country, people who are supposed to be creating opportunities, they are the same one creating the division. And we really understand this is really rooted in anti-Black racism and in white supremacist.
I wanted to go to Haitians living in Springfield, Ohio, who said they feared for their safety after J.D. Vance made false and derogatory claims about their community members eating pets. This is Rose Tamar Joseph, a secretary of Haitian Community Help and Support Center in Springfield.
Since Monday, after the tweet of the Senator Vance, the Asian community in Springfield are a little bit shocked and frustrated. And a lot of them are maybe talking about leaving Springfield. A lot of them are, there is so much fears in the community. Asian people are hard workers, and this is the first reason that Asian people are here in Springfield. It's because they heard about the job opportunities in Springfield and around Springfield.
And this is a Haitian who has been living in Springfield for a year and has two young children. Mark did not want to reveal his last name, didn't want to be seen on camera. He told reporters his children have been bullied by other kids, also threatened by teachers. He said he also had to quit his job because he was being harassed at work.
Since last year, they are facing a lot of problems at school. Like, they were bullied by other kids, and I had to send email, address the situation several times to the principal. And I had to move to another neighborhood because I was, like, scared for them, and they were, like, very traumatized. Especially after all these things that saying in the social media that we're eating dogs. In our culture, we don't eat dogs. That's ridiculous. And even we have local officers say that there's no evidence, and we see people like are very aggressive against us in Springfield. At work, I quit my job like last week because I was harassed, retaliated, even like they tried to demotivate me because as a guy, employees would call me Asian, call me at work, and the company didn't do nothing. And I think it is not good. But I don't really feel like actually I'm welcome in Springfield.
So that's a Haitian resident of Springfield, Ohio. Also this weekend, far-right groups started to come into town, like the Proud Boys, who marched Saturday in some parts of Springfield. Gerline Joseph, if you can talk about the program under which Haitians legally come to the United States, temporary protected status. Well, Trump wanted to end it. He didn't. He couldn't. And the Biden administration didn't start it, but has continued TPS.
Yes, thank you so much, Amy. And there are two programs. There's the CHNV program that is for Cuban, Haitian, Venezuelan, Nicaraguan. A lot of people have come legally, regularly to the program. Yeah, they have people who sponsor them and they come. And then TPS, temporary protected status, is, as you mentioned, a protected status that former President 45 try to eliminate, and you know, the community and organizations, advocates took him to court, and we were able to fight it. And right now we have a new redesignation and extension of TPS for Haitians who are already in the U.S. So therefore, those people, they have the work permits, and they are able to really provide for themselves. And not only that, they pay their taxes, and they are able to really continue to be a part, an integral part of the American society. And I also want to highlight that the Haitians have always been an integral part of the very fabric of the United States. That has been historically the fact. And we have people, I personally know people who have been in Ohio, in Springfield, since the 1950s, Amy. So these people have not only been there continuously to provide and support, and now we have a new flow of Haitians who are coming and also fulfilling not only their dreams, but also the dreams of cities that they are in. But that is not the first time that we hear those narratives from the United States, you know, really blaming Haitians for bringing HIV/AIDS into the United States, from 45 saying that he doesn't want people from asshole countries such as Haiti and Nigeria, but he does want people from Eastern Europe who are blue eyes, blonde hair. So we really, really understand those realities also, that when we talk about immigration and we talk about the people we don't want here, we are talking about black and brown. And we want to highlight that. And to go back to the TPS, we continue to ask for TPS for majority black countries and for South American countries, for Honduras and Mauritania, and those haven't happened. But when it came to other countries, and what we tell the United States and what we tell the Biden administration as well is, the way we receive the Ukrainians should not be an exception. It should be the rule. And we really cannot allow people like Mr. Vance and Mr. Trumps and Elon Musk and all of those people to continue those narratives that are literally taking every ounce of dignity, every ounce of humanity out of my community. I, in my community, the Haitian community, have given their lives for the United States. We have the people such as Jean-Baptiste Pointe-du-Sable, who is the founder of Chicago. We have Karine Jean-Pierre, who is the literally, the press secretary. So these are the people for the White House. These are the caliber of people. And it is insulting for Mr. Vance and for 45 Jr. To come to the media and say Haitians have low IQs because we are coming from a third world country, therefore we have low IQs. The disrespect that they continue to bring is just unacceptable.
In 2016, then presidential candidate Donald Trump spoke on the campaign trail when he visited Little Haiti in Miami, Florida. He vowed to be a champion for the Haitian-American community.
Whether you vote for me or you don't vote for me, I really want to be your greatest champion, and I will be your champion, whether you vote for me or not.
Yet you have, of course, Trump reportedly calling African nations, El Salvador and Haiti, I won't say the word, S-hole countries, sparking international firestorm when he reportedly said during a meeting with lawmakers at the White House, why do we want all these people from Haiti, from Africa here? These are S-hole countries. We should have more people from Norway. If you could talk about, I mean, in the last 2 months, there have been two assassination attempts against Donald Trump, which, of course, should make him even more sensitive to violence against people, targeting people, the kind of fears that the Haitian community feels around the United States right now. During the debate, because President Trump made all these kinds of comments that have led to thousands of memes of ridicule of President Trump talking about eating pets, did you feel that Kamala Harris spoke out enough against the stereotype?